Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Bread of Heaven Midweek Bible Study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Lord, we lift you up and praise you. We consider, Lord, all the great things you have done. Lord, and our soul cries out to you in thanksgiving and in praise. Lord, thank you for opening doors for us. Thank you for never leaving us. Thank you for not dealing with us according to our iniquities, but Lord, out of your grace, your long suffering. We praise you. Thank you for your hand of protection, Lord, and healing on Sister Samantha. She had a procedure today, and the report is that all is well. So thank you for that. Thank you for this chance to come together with our brothers and sisters remotely to study your word. Lord, to call on your name, to give you honor and glory, to collectively stand in awe of you. Lord, we thank you for this week's journey, for this day's journey. Lord, for Sunday worship service, the word on Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for the word bringer on Sunday. And Lord, a special thanks to you for helping me to get to the Atlanta area to give the eulogy at Berea Apostolic and to come home safely. Thank you, Lord, for making the way, Lord, when it was tough, when I wasn't feeling good. But Lord, you took care of it, and we thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful for those who are joining and those who have joined. And Lord, we ask that you bless the families represented tonight. Lord, thank you. Bless Sister Brasher if she's still traveling to get home safely. And Lord, thank you for the families represented tonight on this call. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I've got an interesting glare, little thing from the blinds. I couldn't fix it. It must be really high up across the room. So be it. Tonight, we're going to be in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. The topic is the power of faithfulness. And we're hoping, trusting God, that you will get blessed. The book of Daniel is an awesome book. And what we sometimes don't focus on is that Daniel is in exile. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in exile, and they start out as young people. Daniel's probably about 80 years old when we get to chapter 6. He's not a young man anymore. he's been through some stuff. In chapter one, he decided not to eat from the king's table, and the Lord blessed him. He refused to be brainwashed. He was a child of God, and he would not get inculcated into a culture that served many gods. And so he did not eat at the king's table. He just ate vegetables. And he and his three buddies were at the top of the class, so to speak. Chapter two, he interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, who said, "This dream has gone from me." It's an awesome dream. It has to do with prophetic things in the years coming after it. Chapter three, we hear nothing of Daniel. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It's about the image or the statue that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And that at the sound of music, there was all the subjects, all the people in exile were supposed to bow down and worship this thing. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. And they were thrown in a fiery furnace, and there was a fourth man that looks like the Son of God, and they came out. They didn't even smell like smoke or fire. They weren't hurt. God protected them. Chapter four, Nebuchadnezzar lost his man. Chapter five, the new king decided it was a good idea to party with the implements they had stolen from the temple. And then they saw a hand, not a hand with an arm attached to it, writing on the wall. And one of the things it said is, "You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting." And then this new king, Belshazzar, promoted Daniel, and then he was assassinated that same night. Why? The Medes and the Persians came in and took over from the Babylonians. And so we have this man, Darius, who is now in power. He is of the Medes and the Persians. In modern day terms, when you think of the Babylonians, you think of Iraq. In modern day terms, when you think of the Persians, you think of Iran. All right. So we get down to the sixth chapter. We got a new king. And as I said a minute ago, Daniel's no longer a young man. He's around 80 years old. The topic, for those who joined a few minutes late, the power of faithfulness. Verse one. Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah.
All right.
"It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom." So the whole empire. "And over these, up above the 120 princes, there were three presidents, of whom Daniel was first." So you're getting the picture? 123 people in high power under the king. 120 princes right here, three presidents, and of the three presidents, Daniel was above the other two. He's second in command. He's similar to being prime minister. So Daniel's first, that the princes might give a counsel to them. Yes.
Can you stop just for a minute and get some water? Because it's really scary over here listening to you.
Yeah.
A struggle. It's scary. Okay.
I'm fine. If I wasn't feeling fine, I'd tell you.
Okay. So, don't.
I worked all day, baby. I'm fine. Thank you for being concerned. And I do have water here. I also got some hot for my throat. And it says that the princes might give a counsel to them, who, the three presidents, they reported to them. And the king should have no damage. The king should have no loss. They should keep up with his money. Won't be no embezzlement. Won't be any mistakes. Won't be any neglect. Won't be any fraud. So Daniel was the chief man, right? Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. We don't hear anything about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this. So they may have been sent to an outlying area or whatever. And so it's Daniel who is in exile. And then 122 other people who are part of the Persian system. They are not in exile. He is the only one who is an exiled Jew. And he's at the top of the heap. What do you think is going to happen? Jealousy, yeah? Daniel was preferred by the presidents because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He thought to raise him up higher. An excellent spirit was in him. The power of God was on him. He had God's favor, right? Faithfulness puts us in a position to receive and be eligible to receive the favor of God. And as we said earlier about chapter one, where he refused to eat at the king's table, God gave him favor with the guy over them. Hallelujah. They're in exile. They're foreigners. Hallelujah. And God gave them favor in this situation. Verse 4 on Daniel, the sixth chapter. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. There was no uncrossed T, no undotted I, no mathematical error. His books came up balanced. There was not one penny short, not one penny over. I'm using that in American terms so you can know how incredible his record was. He was faithful. Hallelujah. They couldn't find fault. Wouldn't that be a testimony? I think everybody on this call would love to have that fault, that on your job, in your life, in your family, praise God, in your neighborhood, that you had a record that 122 people were trying to find something against you and they could not find one little speck of dirt against you. Hallelujah. Of course, ultimately, God Almighty gets the glory for this. Then said the men, there are a lot of lessons in this. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. Let's give up. We're not going to find any dirt, except we find it against him concerning the law of God. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I had the testimony that our only kryptonite, so to speak, would be that we are faithful to the word of God, we are faithful concerning the law of God, and that's what they looked to. And they knew he was a praying man. So then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. They conspired and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. Now they're trying to play a trick on the king because they knew Daniel had favor with the king and the king would never want to do anything to hurt Daniel. Now, I want y'all to spot the lie in verse 7. They are talking to the king, presidents and 122 conspirators, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save for thee, except for thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, where's the lie in that verse, in what they said to the king? Anybody? Help a brother out, you know. I'm struggling, I'm coughing, y'all don't have any compassion for me. I'll tell you. It's the first word in the verse, all. Because Daniel wouldn't. Daniel is the chief president. They said all the presidents. They gave the impression that Daniel was in favor of it too, which was a bold-faced lie. Verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, you sign a decree, that's it. You can't modify it. You can't amend it. You can't repeal it. It has to stand as it is decreed. But we'll see a loophole in it a little bit later. You know, I'm a lawyer. I'm going to look for a loophole. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, all right, okay, he's second in command. He's the chief of the presidents. He's over the 122 princes. Hallelujah. It wasn't hard for him to get the news. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He was faithful. He had this godly habit. And one of the things that is implicit in the lesson tonight is we got to make sure that we have godly habits and that we deal with any ungodly habits that we have. We can't stay in that. So he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't close the windows. He didn't pick out a new prayer place. He didn't go hide in the woods to pray. He knew that he could be brought up on charges. He knew that he could be thrown in the lion's den because that was part of the decree. And he knew, according to the customs of the Medes and the Persians, that the decree could not be altered, but his mind was set that he was going to worship the Lord, that he was going to pray to the Lord, that he was not going to let any conspiracy, any lie, any set of tricksters and setup artists and snitches keep him from his God. My God had been too faithful to him. Brought him from the point when he first got there, he was in danger of death because he refused to eat from the king's table. He was in danger of death in the second chapter because the king getting ready to kill everybody if they couldn't tell him his dream and interpret his dream. And God brought him through that. So, and then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and make supplication before his God. Hallelujah. They knew that his faithfulness was in a sense to them, his kryptonite. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decrees. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any God or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. This is a picture of the kind of plots that Satan and his imps invoke against God's people. And we're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trials that shall try us. These things are going to come against us. People will allow themselves. The people themselves are not our enemy. We're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. And this is a perfect example of that. But sometimes people let themselves be used. People that sometimes we least expect. Sometimes in the inner circle, like Judas. And we have to, hallelujah, be faithful, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, praying without ceasing. Hallelujah. Because we never know when something like this will come up. It'll take a different form, but an attack against you, something designed to blindside you, something designed to bring you down, to snatch victory from you, to keep you depressed and anxious and hurt and unwilling to extend yourself. And then we have to be ready. We have to have godly habits in place. Hallelujah. You know the story of Benaniah, one of David's mighty men, that he found himself in a pit with a lion on a snowy day. And my remark is, it was too late to do push-ups then. And he ended up killing that thing, right? We have to be spiritually conditioned. Hallelujah. Not just walking around, half-stepping, not being in preparation mode, not praying, not drawing close to the Lord, being slack, hallelujah, but being as soldiers of the cross in preparation mode, in vigilance mode, so that when trouble comes, when the winds and the rains come, that we are sure that our house is built on a rock. Verse 13, and we're on Daniel, the sixth chapter. Our topic is the power of faithfulness. So they just snitched on Daniel. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He had fallen for this. He had been duped and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He was trying to figure out a way. He was trying to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. He didn't pronounce any judgment. Immediately, he labored. He's in travail. The only one of the 123 that had this excellent spirit is now by a decree he signed, destined to be thrown into the den of lions. Verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." They're talking to the king like, "We got you, buddy." Reminding the king about the law of the Medes and the Persians. He's got the power to make the law. He's got the power to sign decrees. Of course he knows. They saw he was struggling, trying to save Daniel. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." He spoke deliverance over him. He couldn't deliver him because they had him locked up in the decree. But he spoke deliverance over him. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet. Of course, this reminds us of the tomb of Jesus. And with the signet of his lords, that the seal of the king, the seal of some of his top people, that the purpose not be changed concerning Daniel. They had to have proof that the king's decree, which could not be changed, had been followed and not tampered with. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He didn't have his usual entertainment, and he could not sleep. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. He had such an admiration and affection for the man of God. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. At the morning light, after having tossed and turned all night, after having not had a wink of sleep, he went into haste into the den of lions. Praise the Lord. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Lamentable means sad. Almost in mourning. And the king spake and said, "Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" He needed to know the verdict. Verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. Now, there's a lesson in this. As I alluded to earlier, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. So the 122 represent demons and demonic attacks. Even though it was the king's decree and the king's order to go fetch Daniel and put him in the den, he knew who his real enemy was. And we have to know who our real enemy was. O king, live forever. It wasn't a king. He had been duped. He was a victim just as much, in a sense, as Daniel was. My God have sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. He said, an angel came and shut the mouths of the lions. And we know that a statement to that effect is in Hebrews 11, how that by faith, the mouths of lions were shut. And it's Daniel's faith that produced the courage to go pray and keep those windows open. It was Daniel's faith that moved heaven to respond to his plight. Innocency was found in me. And guess what? I don't see anywhere. It's kind of like Jesus. I don't see anywhere where Daniel offered a defense. I didn't do it. Sure, I've been screaming, Mama, Mama, they land on, you know, all of that. He offered no defense. He didn't try to hide. He didn't try to run into the woods or nothing after they had talked to him first. No, they said, go get him. We know where he is. Bring him. I have done no hurt. I wish we could have that testimony that we have done no hurt to the Lord. We have done no hurt to our brothers and sisters. We have done no hurt to the leaders that we have. We've done no hurt to our families. I just wish we could have that testimony. And the hurt we usually do is with, you know, this mouth, this tongue, this unruly evil full of deadly poison. All right. Verse 21. He went from being lamentable, being almost in mourning, about to bust out and cry, to verse 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. See, the loophole in the decree was, it says they'd be thrown in. They didn't say that they couldn't be taken out. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Daniel did not have a scratch on him. I'm talking about the power of faithfulness. Matter of fact, we're going to find out real quick that this whole ordeal improved Daniel's situation. And the king commanded, And they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, and brake all the bones in pieces, or ever came at the bottom of the den. The 122, the wives and children. I do feel bad about the wives and children. Had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So could nobody say that the lions weren't hungry, or that they were somehow, you know, tame or something. They were wild lions. They were hungry. But there was an intervention of an angel ordered by God. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all their peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree, here's a better decree, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. I wonder if anybody has ever said the God of Russell or the God of some other person on that our lives were so powerful and exemplary that they connected us close to this God. That through our faith, through our faithfulness, through our excellent spirit, hallelujah, through the power of our walk, hallelujah, they were willing to believe in the God that we serve. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even until the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Hallelujah. So after Darius went off the scene, the next one, Cyrus, who I believe was his son, Daniel still prospered. God had his hand on him. He had favor, and his faithfulness made a way for him. Hallelujah. All right. Questions, comments, brief testimonies?
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Praise the Lord, First Lady.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's been, hold on. Okay, so tonight is really, really provoking, and it's powerful. I just wanted to tell you thank you, and I hate that you're going doing it, you know, coughing and stuff, but it's really, really good, and thank you. Sorry I didn't know the answer to that question you asked. So.
It's a trick question. You know, I'm a lawyer, you know, I can't help it. I'm tricking.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, good, I feel better. It's been stupid. But okay, but thank you so much for today. And then the sacrifice you make, even pushing through not feeling well. Thank you.
It's nothing I would rather do than to minister God's word, because I know where I came from. I didn't come from church. I didn't have that. God brought me up on the rough side of the thing and blessed me. Put a beautiful lady in my life, led me to the Lord. So If I could not teach, I would have asked somebody to step in, but I'm fine. I sound worse than I feel. And this morning when I had my hearing, my voice was fine. I mean, it was 80%. All right. Questions, comments, brief testimonies?
This is Sister Carol. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say I'm enjoying the Bible study too. I like the this story of Daniel and everything and all the things and how you expounded on it more for us and everything. And I like the fact that Daniel had an ex the Bible say he had an excellent spirit. That's one of my prayers. Sometimes I ask the Lord, I said, Lord, let me have an excellent spirit, like Daniel and everything. And I like the message, the faithfulness of Daniel, even though he had that decree and he know that this may, could cost him his life and that the king would be upset with him, but still that did not stop him from praying unto his God because he was dedicated to him. And he wasn't going to let nothing interfere with his prayer life or interfere with his worship to the Lord. And we have to be like that too. No adverse job situation like what I'm going through, or either, health issues, some what I'm going through also too. I have to look at it and say, that none of these things, I can't let none of these things like Paul said move me. I still have to, stay faithful to God and not look at the circumstances. Sometimes, it is difficult to do, especially when the way, when the winds are really blowing and the waves are really hard and everything, and if it's prolonged, like it haven't been like a month, maybe just some months, and but you don't want to get weary. You still just want to keep on trusting in the Lord. And I just want to, I have a testimony. I just want to thank the Lord that he allowed me to see another year. Today is my birthday. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Happy
Jesus.
birthday.
Thank you so very much. It's got more meaning this year because, with this hard diagnosis that they're trying to label me with and everything. So now I just got a new attitude, when I wake up in the morning, I'm just so glad to be alive and be in the land of the living that I didn't die in my sleep and everything. So I just want to say, thank the Lord. I'm so grateful. And I told the people at work, I said, I don't want no gifts. I don't want anything. I said, it's only just two things that you can give me. I will accept. And then they asked what? And I would tell them, I said, you could just give me a hug, or you can give me a verbal birthday gift, just saying that I love you. And it gave me an opportunity with some people, to witness to them. Because I said, love is a powerful force. I said, in the word of God, it said, if we have love one for another, then all men we know you that you are my disciples. Not because you go to church, not because you walk around, looking whole and everything, but it's because of the love of Christ that's inside of you that you share with other people. So just that little thing right there, to a few people, I got a chance to witness, tell them about Jesus.
Fantastic. Anybody else?
I think it was a good lesson, Pastor. Good job. Going way back into the country, somebody used to say, there must be a willing mind. Daniel had a made-up mind. Good job.
Amen. Amen.
It was kind of hard to hear. You just seemed like you were struggling. We didn't know what was going on. So we're glad you made it through it.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
All right.
No, I had no doubt. Let me ask this question. In the sixth chapter of Daniel that we just read, do you see a parallel between Daniel and Mordecai? Anybody?
Okay. Is this a trick? Is this a trick? Trick or not?
No, it's
Simple.
It's no trick, and I don't know if it's simple, but well, the parallel is Mordecai, Haman had a gallows built for Mordecai. And yeah. Here, this 122 had the decree put out and had Daniel thrown in it. And the trap they set for Daniel and the trap that Haman set for Mordecai ended up being their undoing. And that Haman ended up being hanged on the gallows he built for Mordecai. And here, the lion's den that they had primed and set up for Daniel end up being where they got thrown in and ate and ripped all the pieces by and their families by these lions. I want to make one point. I'm going to ask a question. And the question is not a trick. The notion of exile. This is one of the ways we can see ourselves in the story. This world is not our own. We are pilgrims and strangers passing through. We're here for a span of years, hallelujah, as God would allow. It is a sense like being exiled to all the frailties of the human body, the frailties of the mind, the pain of losing people, the pain of sickness and struggle, broken relationships, the pain of misunderstandings, pains of betrayals and mistreatments. And this world is not a home. We are, in a sense, as pilgrims and strangers in a land that is not our home. That's what Daniel was faced with. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with. And in the midst of that, they were blessed because the power of faithfulness. Hallelujah. The Lord is our dwelling place in all generations. Jesus says, abide in me, make your home in me. Hallelujah. So, I can identify with Daniel across the centuries, across the continents, across the language barriers, because we are in exile, in a sense, on our pilgrim journey. And our faithfulness will, like Daniel's faithfulness, like the three Hebrew boys' faithfulness, make room for us, cause us to have favor, be eligible for favor of God when there's opposition, when there's pain. It had to hurt Daniel to have 122 people who wanted him dead for nothing. But you don't see any whining. You don't see him offering a defense. He just trusted in the Lord. So that's the point I want to make. Now, here's the question. There's no set answer to this. How does this story in the sixth chapter of Daniel point us to Jesus Christ? Anybody? Most of that, I just spilled one on my little legal pants, a little bit on my shirt. I'll live. Anybody? Well, Jesus was innocent. False accusations were made against him. Jesus was, in a sense, in exile on the earth. He came voluntarily, but he said this, I am not from this world. I am from above. So as he walked the flesh, this world was not his home. So he's in the exile. In a sense, I hope you get that I'm meaning in a sense, by comparison, by analogy. They thought they had him. Satan thought he had him, but it was his purpose to come to die for our sin. It was his purpose to rise the third day. It was his purpose to shed his blood for our sins. Hallelujah. So there was victory. He came up with all power in his hand. And he spoiled principalities and made an open show of it, but it looked like they had him. It looked like they had Daniel. And so many times it looked like people, they have us, don't they, y'all? It's like we're getting a standing eight count. Hallelujah. We're about to be taken out, but yet God, who is rich in mercy. All right, Elder, sounds like you want to say something, Elder Jackson.
Well, I was answering the question, but I was on mute, so so I realized that, and then you start answering it. So, yeah, I was just going to say Daniel's like a representation of Christ. Everything that you said, I was about to say. That's what I'm going to say anyway. But anyway, yeah, I was on mute and didn't know. And you're right. He was like, you know, he didn't succumb to Nebuchadnezzar or Babylon or whoever was in charge at the time. He stayed true to God. He didn't see himself as a citizen of that country that conquered him. They all rebelled. That's what Meshach and Abednego, they didn't conform. And we can kind of relate it to what's going on today. It's like people are just scared and they're trying not to have a target on their back. So they're trying to just conform. But these men were willing to just stand with Christ, would stand with God no matter what. They didn't care about their own lives. And yeah, that's what Jesus did. He died for us. So yeah, it was a good lesson. It's deep. It's real good, though.
And one final point before I allow people to say, you know, make remarks or whatever, and then we close out in prayer. One of the things I was emphasizing in the lesson, kind of in increments, kind of building the point, the power of godly habits. This is important for us. It's important for me. We've got to let God do the reset for us. Remember what Jesus did for the woman caught in adultery? They brought her there, but not the man. Of course, the man might have been in a set of accusers. We don't know. But they brought her, hoping to get her stoned or to make an accusation of Jesus as being against the law. And Jesus worked it so masterfully, so gangster, scribbling in the dirt. And ultimately, they all left. And he said to her, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" And then he said, "I'm not going to condemn you. Go and sin no more." In other words, Jesus pushed the reset button for that woman. They thought that they were bringing her to her doom. They did the best thing they could have done, which was to bring her to Jesus. Who are we bringing to Jesus? In the prayer closet and in our lives, in our interactions with Jesus. What are the godly habits we have that people can pinpoint and say, "Yeah, that dude prays three times a day and he leaves the window open. He's facing toward Jerusalem. Yeah, that brother there, you can talk to him and he's always trying to be positive. He's always trying to be godly in his responses. I've never heard him say a cuss word. I've never seen him chasing." What are the godly habits and the way of walking and godly conversation and the countenance and how we carry ourselves that people could use as our kryptonite if they wanted to come against us? What are we standing for in our godly daily life, our faithfulness, our prayer, our lives, hallelujah, that makes us a candidate for somebody who could be said to have an excellent spirit? Because an excellent spirit is not up and down. It's not mood swingy. It's not always trying to offer a defense for ourselves. It's just faithfully being a steward over whatever is put in our hands, walking in integrity, reflecting the attributes of Jesus Christ, not promoting ourselves, but letting the promotion come from the Lord, not boasting in ourselves, drawing attention to ourselves, but making our boast in the Lord, not receiving any sort of glory for ourselves, but glorifying God. The power of faithfulness, praise the Lord. Some of the best compliments I have gotten from people over the years in my ministry, the stuff like, "You sure are faithful." And, the brother at the Friday night service who testified, Brother Billy, said, "I never seen him back up or quit." I can't remember who's. That's the kind of testimony I want. I don't care nobody say, "Oh, he's the most awesome. He's this." That comes and goes. But for somebody to recognize your faithfulness, a sense of consistency, and that's hard to do because the flesh is not consistent. So there has to be a spiritual impetus for us to have the testimony that we are faithful, that we're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's what Daniel had. He had favor with people from another culture. He had favor in that first chapter with the prince of the eunuchs, just off jump, by virtue of who he was in God as a young person. And that faithfulness was still there when he got to be close to about 80 years old in the sixth chapter of Daniel. An excellent spirit. I think in the fourth or fifth chapter, in one of the early verses, they say something about Daniel having an excellent spirit. It was throughout. He wasn't up and down. He wasn't a flash in the pan. He wasn't missed the excitement one day and then the next day mad. He was consistently, day by day, praying three times, looking toward Jerusalem, trusting God for whatever was going on, whatever decree they came. And I don't know why he wasn't mentioned in the third chapter. Maybe he had been sent to out to one of the provinces or something. I don't know why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not mentioned in the sixth chapter. But we see in that second chapter, this, to me, is a turning point from being kind of like a precocious young man or semi-boy in the first chapter, where he and his buddies, through the favor of God, didn't eat vegetables, to a man of stature who interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar against threats of death. And not only interpreted the dream, told him what the dream was. He said, I'll go to the Lord and the Lord will show it to me. Why are you so hasty? Why are you trying to kill everybody? Why didn't y'all come to me? You know, don't you know that I'm faithful? So, questions, comments?
I would just like to say it was a very good lesson, Elder Perkins. And I'm sure I can speak for everyone on the line. You know, when you say, the way you presented the lesson, you know, about being steadfast, you know, always abounding. You know, it's not a sometime thing, and it's not that we don't make mistakes, but thank God that he's forgiving if we ask him to forgive us of our sins. But I really enjoyed the lesson. I just sat back and took it all in, and it really blessed my soul.
Thank you, Sister Brasher. I bless you. Anybody else? Elder Holden, do you mind closing us out? If you have remarks, you're certainly free to make them. But I see your number up here. Are you able to lead us in prayer? You're on mute right now. All right. First Lady Renita, can you lead us in prayer?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me show my face. Okay. There we go. Okay, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, dear Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you so much, Lord, for the word that has gone forth, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, even for our pastor, Lord Jesus, that he felt better than he sounded, Lord Jesus, as he coughed through, Lord. But he was for your glory, Lord, for your word to get out, Lord. And we thank you for the lesson tonight, Lord. It was deep, Lord Jesus, and rich, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your power, your glory. We thank you for watching over each and every one of us this day, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you camp your angels all about us, Lord, as we go through the rest of the week. That you bless us and keep us, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, and all the things that you've done, Sister Carol's birthday, Lord Jesus. Thank you for letting her wake up, see, and bless the morning, Lord, with her being there, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for Sister Samantha, Lord, little baby Samantha, Lord Jesus. You let everything go well, Lord Jesus. She's getting better, Lord. You got it, the doctor's hands, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We
hallelujah.
Lord, we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you keep us, Lord. Keep everyone that's on this phone, their family, Lord Jesus. Keep them strong, Lord, in you, Lord. Keep them continuing to walk in the way that you would have them to walk, to talk the way that you would have them to talk. Lord Jesus, to learn and to love you more and more, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We love you with all that we have, Lord. We love you with all our hearts, Lord, for bringing us safely over the highways and the byways. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Without you, Lord, we cannot do anything, Lord. We can't even wake up in the morning and open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord, with all our all. all our being, all our hearts, mind, soul, body, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. If anything that we've done that was not pleasing in your sight, Lord, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, forgive us all, Lord. Love us, Lord. Bless us, Lord, that we'll continue to walk the way that we should, talk the way that we should, Lord Jesus, and just endure, Lord, to the end, Lord. We love you. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Amen, 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 and amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Everybody have a blessed night in Jesus' name. Love you with the love of Christ. Good night.
Love you with the love of Renita and Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bye.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.